Bringing World to the Classroom, the podcast is supported by the U.S. Embassy in Bratislava. From the Slovak Spectator, this is Bringing World to the Classroom. Seemingly unrelated stories that have shaped and continue to shape the world for the better. I'm your host, Peter Dlhopolec. She spent her childhood growing up under communism, not knowing democracy and freedom. After graduating high school, she wanted to pursue a career in archaeology. The regime made her change her plans, though. On 17 November 1989, the communist regime fell thanks to the courage of Czechs and Slovaks. The Velvet Revolution changed the lives of people. What was her life like under communism? Where was she on November 17? And what did Slovaks learn from the Velvet Revolution? Ľubica Lacinová, a senior researcher from the Center of Biosciences at the Slovak Academy of Sciences, shares her experience and views with me. I was born in 1991, so what was it like to grow up in the times when communism ruled Czechoslovakia?
Well, the world was different from very many aspects. I grew up in a small city, Skalica, mm-hmm. on the border between current Slovak and Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And in this small city, the sources of information were relatively limited. Also, I was growing up in the 60s. We were financially relatively poor family. We did not have television, so we had just one newspapers which we had to purchase, and we had one radio station because we had radio which was connected through a wire.
Uh-huh.
And so it was connected just to one broadcast. So
it seems like a completely different time. Today, the state supports families. What was it like back then? Did the government support families in general?
Yes, the government did support the families, like by giving them apartments.
Okay.
But our family was not a family supported by states, because my mother was single mother. And mm-hmm. these type of families were not supported by states. So I grew up with my grandmother and her two sisters in this small city, Skalica.
Was politics like a thing in your family? Did you talk about politics?
My grandmother did run a pub until 1947. So she always remembered that the First Republic was a relatively good time when she had her pub. She had to work hard, but she could earn money. Mm-hmm. And she lived a relatively happily living. And she lost this living with her own small business in 1947 when she closed her pub, because somehow she expected that something will happen. If she would not close it, it would be nationalized in early 1948.
If you compare it with today's times, what was it like to be a high school student under communism?
I was lucky because I moved to my mother to Bratislava in 1975. Mm-hmm. And I was already accepted to high school in Skalica. So I was just transferred to high school in Bratislava. And luckily, the apartment of my mother was close to Gymnasium Jura Hronca, which mm-hmm. was very prestigious gymnasium. It still is. And I would not be accepted if I would live in Bratislava and apply there.
Aha, okay.
So during lucky coincidence, I was a student at really the very best gymnasium in Bratislava, which was also politically relatively free. So I got very good education because there were very good teachers. And we have had also a small freedom. Mm-hmm. Like we had freedom to wear jeans. And boys in classes had freedom to choose the length of their hairs.
But that was
these two freedoms were not in other gymnasiums in Bratislava.
Okay, so that's the like the only difference you see, or
there was much more freedom. Once in a year, this gymnasium organized a festival, mm-hmm. which lasted like for 2-3 days, and different writers and actors and interesting people were invited to this festival.
Well, so it seems that your high school times were sort of fine, but at what point in your life, if there was at all, mm-hmm. you realized that the regime, the communist regime, was not right and it should come to an end? Was there such a moment in your life?
Oh, there was no a single moment. So since childhood, I knew that something is not okay with this regime, considering why people should not be able to run some small businesses. And it was frustrating that somehow the supply was not properly organized, that all the time there was something which was not available, and these were the things of daily use. It was not a single moment when I awake and said that, well, this regime is not correct. I saw that there are many problematic points. But
so it was like every day you saw something that was not right about the regime. Let's move on to some more absurdities of the regime. I read an article about you, about your story. The article says that the state security, which was a communist secret police force in Czechoslovakia back then, tried to dig out some dirty information about you. So how did it end up? Eventually,
nothing really happened. But this was 1988.
Okay.
It was summer 1988. The 20th anniversary of occupation was approaching. Mm-hmm. And that time I was already involved in environmental movements in Bratislava. I was involved in a group which a year ago published Bratislava Nahlas, this famous green paper. And also I was a head of camera club at one of our cultural institutions.
All right.
And our camera club was quite active. We were organizing sometimes exhibitions. Sometimes we were organizing slide projections and public discussions with some famous photographers, if we were able to find someone. So we organized public events in this cultural house in Ružinov. So actually the secret police came to the administrators of this cultural house in Ružinov to ask what I am doing, what I am preparing, what are my plans for summer. Probably that time they just checked all people who were suspicious,
all right.
what they could do around this 20th anniversary.
Yeah, and you did nothing wrong. You said that it was in 1988, and the Velvet Revolution occurred a year later. In between these 2 years, was there a point when you really thought the regime is dissolving?
In 1989, there were signs that the regime is slowly losing control and is becoming less and less strong.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was very surprised at the beginning of 1989, as a young member of environmental movement, I got invitation from Federation of European Green Youth for a meeting in West Berlin.
All right.
And three people from our group were chosen that we will go. So we needed a permit to travel behind the Iron Curtain issued by local police authorities, because passport authorities belong to the police department. And so I went there, I applied for this permit, and also, I had to apply for fast track permit, which was very unusual, but we got the invitation relatively late.
Yeah.
So we cannot get this through a normal track, which would last for several months. We needed it during several weeks. And actually, the head of police department heard my story and said that, okay, is 2 days enough?
So
I was very happy I got my permit, and in March 1989, for the first and the last time, I traveled behind the Iron Curtain, because when I traveled the next time, the Iron Curtain was away.
Oh, interesting. And now let's go to 1989, to November 17. Where were you on this date when the Velvet Revolution
Actually, I was in city of Pardubice.
Okay. Why was that?
And it was in city of Pardubice. It was 17 November, mm-hmm. the International Students Day.
Okay.
On that occasion, every year in Pardubice was a vernissage of photography exhibition and competition Fotografia Academica, mm-hmm. which was a competition of photographies submitted by students of universities or by people up to 3 years after graduating from university. So I submitted some of my documentary photographs, which I took in Moscow.
Okay.
And I won the second prize.
So congratulations.
So I was in Pardubice accepting the prize at this competition, Fotografia Academica.
So how did you learn about the Velvet Revolution or what was happening in Prague?
I think it was Friday, mm-hmm. November 17. And then on Saturday morning, I traveled back to Bratislava. And on Sunday, I just went to the city for a walk. And I met a friend from the university. And he told me that there was a demonstration in Prague. And he said that Jakeš Polis killed a student.
Which it turned out was not true.
Yes, later it turned out that this was not true. But
and did you take part in any way later? Was that a protest in Bratislava?
I went to demonstrations which were on Slovak National Uprising Square. Mm-hmm. But many key persons and people against violence were my friends from the environmental movements. Mm-hmm. So I was in touch with them and I collected signatures for the declaration of people against violence, which was quite an interesting experience because some people in my institution did dare to sign and some did not. Some of them just waited for general strike, which was announced.
Okay.
And after this general strike went through softly, they came that, okay, now I can sign.
You know, the November 17, 1989 events, it's something really important for Slovakia. So what do you like the most about this particular day? And also the events that followed afterwards.
I remember very positive atmosphere among people on the street, mm-hmm. and mutual cooperation of people in the street, and also the feeling of freedom which we had. And also quite powerful experience was to go for a small trip to Austria, which was really few steps away from Bratislava, from the bank of Danube River. And we never were able to go there. And now suddenly we could go there and just see how Austria looks like.
And on the other hand, was there something you were not really happy about?
Specifically those days or what happened later?
Well, let's say both.
Well, as I said, many key persons in People Against Violence were my friends from environmental movements that I was thinking if I should join them. Mm-hmm. And first I decided that not, because in early summer of 1989, I finished my PhD and I had postdoctoral position in the United States. So if I would choose to get involved with People Against Violence, I would give up my postdoc position in Philadelphia. And mm-hmm. I wanted to experience how the life looks like in the United States. But then somehow people started to create Green Party.
Mm.
And several people from environmental movements, including me, mm-hmm. Just joined this effort to shape it somehow, because this was really grassroots movement. It was very disorganized and it could damage the green idea. So therefore, we went there and tried to shape that.
That was at the end of 1989. But then in March 1990, you left for the United States.
Yes.
So what was it like being in America?
I was postdoc at the University of Pennsylvania in mm-hmm. Philadelphia. When I came to Philadelphia, I was there perhaps 2 months. And at the university campus was a festival of Czechoslovak Slovakian independent movies from the 60s. These were, it was not very well attended, but some people... I had the opportunity during one week event to see very good selection of all banned movies, which I could not see in Czechoslovakia.
Today, when you think of communism, is there at least a bit of nostalgia in your heart or not at all?
Certainly not for communism. I may have certain nostalgia for less technical world.
Okay, I understand that. We are celebrating 30 years since the Velvet Revolution. So what have we as the Slovak society learned in those three decades?
I think we learned that we can make choices and decisions.
I just had to think about it right now, because when you said it, I was like, that's a nice thought. Okay, and are there any areas in which we are lagging behind still?
I think this is...
Because you said we can make choices, but...
We can make choices and decisions, but we are not yet ready to take full responsibility for choices and decisions.
Yeah, maybe make good choices.
Well, even if we make bad choices, this happens, but we should be able to take full responsibility for the choices we made.
Sure. Today, young people do not know much about the Velvet Revolution. So tell me, why should they know something about the Velvet Revolution?
Because this was change of the regime. They should know something about the regime before Velvet Revolution. They should know that there are ways how the regime could be changed without civil war. Mm-hmm. And they should also learn from mistakes which were made during and after Velvet Revolution.
And so how should it be changed? Should parents do something about it, or should schools teach more about the Velvet Revolution and those times?
I think schools should teach more.
They should take the responsibility.
Yeah.
Thank you to Ljubica Lacinová, the senior researcher from the Center of Biosciences at the Slovak Academy of Sciences, talking about her life under communism, the Velvet Revolution, and present days. If you love the podcast, tell your friends to listen. You can find it on Podbean and other platforms, as well as on spectator.sk. I'm Peter Dlhopolec. See you soon.